Now, social media sites have been under a growing amount of scrutiny in recent years. There are questions about how platforms like Facebook and Twitter have been misused and how that misuse can impact things like elections. And there are also questions about how social media affects our mental and emotional health, with our tendency to only post about the happiest, most beautiful parts of our lives. A number of big social media companies are considering changes to deal with some of these issues. Some are already getting pushback. Steve Knoll is a professor of marketing at Madison College, our go-to guy in the social media world. Steve, good to have you back.
Cool. Thank you.
Well, are we right? Are there a lot of sites making fairly important tweaks here?
Well, I'm not sure about important. Well, you know, we'll see. That's the one thing about the social media world. As soon as you have everything figured it out, it will change. So the biggest thing is probably what Instagram is rolling out. When you post on Instagram, of course, people like it, and then you can kind of see how many likes you're getting, and you can see how many likes other people are getting. What they're doing is they're gradually rolling this out where you will stop seeing other people's likes. You can still see how many likes your post got, but you won't be able to see, like, oh, this friend of mine posted this picture of their cat and got 87 likes, so therefore I'm pressured to post my own picture of a cat to try to outdo it.
This sounds like a little thing, especially I'm thinking of people who don't use Instagram and don't post on it a lot.
Yep.
But there's an idea here that, you know, if our social media service is making people feel bad, inadequate, maybe even discouraging from that post, if they're getting a tenth the number of likes as their buddy across town, maybe that's not such a great service.
Yeah, and that's, you know, there's this expression, FOMO, fear of missing out, and this idea that there's almost this social pressure to compete with people over really inane things like pictures of last night's dinner. And psychologists have been talking about this, and they've been looking at, you know, how social media affects people's mental health. And one of the things they've been finding is there's almost this quest to be liked, you know, literally liked. So I think that this is something that is probably a good thing to try to lessen some of that social pressure.
There's one group I imagine might be concerned about this, the people who are trying to make a living at being a social media influencer. Many of them on Instagram where their currency is those
money,
likes and
yes.
how many people have seen it.
Well, and people posting, you will still be able to see what your own posts are generating. And I think, you know, Instagram is owned by Facebook. We know that. And ultimately, it's about making money. And they're not going to do something that's going to kind of take away their bread and butter business from that. So I think that it's really more designed for the casual people that might have some, you know, minor psychological addiction issues and trying to lessen some of that before this turns into a major issue.
Now, we've seen stories about especially the demographic of teenage girls feeling more anxiety, more depression.
Sure.
Some
pressure.
Researchers tying that to social media.
Correct.
I think the jury may be out there, arguments on both sides. But is this something people are thinking about with a change like this?
They are. They are. The whole idea that maybe a 16-year-old girl would, get a new dress or put on makeup and then, you know, post a selfie, and if it doesn't get 100 likes, she will then feel bad. She will feel that she's ugly or not, you know, looking good. And that's not correct. You know, with the algorithms, a lot of that can determine how many people are actually seeing it, and that will correlate to how many likes are there. So it's not really more designed for the people who are working a business on it. It's really just trying to lessen some of the psychological implications that this type of behavior can lead to.
Now, this is testing. It's being released, as you mentioned, I think
it's
a rolling release.
Out. Yes, it's a rollout.
So
yes.
When might people in Wisconsin, if it matters where you are regionally, see this happen?
Right. And that's the thing is, though, it's going to just roll out gradually, probably over the next year. And they don't really do it by regions. It's really more done by how heavy of a user you are. You know, certainly if you are more of a, you know, hardcore Instagrammer that you're on there every single day, you're probably going to see this sooner than later. If you're just the casual person, by the time it even rolls out, you won't even notice it's not there.
All right, that's Instagram. Let's turn to Twitter now. Mm-hmm. Twitter's talking about, anyway, adding some new user controls next year.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like a laundry list a little bit. What do they have out there?
Well, what they want to do is they're concerned with, like, conversations just spiraling out of control. So they want to limit things like, if I send out a tweet, can I set it up that you can't retweet my message? Or if I'm going to limit to how many people I can, you know, direct message, you know, with the @ sign, on the app. A lot of it is, you know, we see this, that somebody will post something and then it will just spiral out of control. Now, sometimes that's good. You know, you could have somebody who finds, you know, something, some type of social injustice and tweets it out there and it gets picked up and retweeted and becomes a big phenomenon. Okay, that's a good use of Twitter. But there's a lot of, like, you know, insipid stuff that kind of like dissolves into rants and a lot of like racial stuff like that, that they really just want to give the initial poster the ability to control that instead of letting people take something out of context and then keep retweeting it.
Now, following Twitter sort of passively as I do, it seems like a common complaint, especially from women, is, hey, Twitter, these changes are nice. Can we do something about the like really vile abuse that women in particular on Twitter are daily subjected to?
Yeah, and that's the thing about social media, something, especially something like Twitter, where you're kind of protected by a handle and not a name, and it really brings out the good, high-quality human beings. But that's the thing, yeah, is that, you know, women are saying, well, you know, I'll post something on Twitter and then it might be, you know, saying something, you know, very progressive about a new female-led movie. And then all of a sudden that tweet is being retweeted with a lot of really nasty comments that are very misogynistic. And it's a way to allow that initial poster to cut that off and stop the conversation. I think it's a good thing, but it's hard to say going forward if this is really going to have a big impact on that. It sounds good. It's kind of like Twitter saying we're not going to accept political advertising anymore. That sounds really good. But if you look at the numbers, it's like less than 1% of their revenue stream. So it got them a lot of media coverage, and they're like, yay, we're the social media heroes. But really, it's not going to impact them.
Talking to Steve Knoll from Madison College, looking at some changes that may be appearing on a social media site near you. Well, it's Instagram, Twitter. Of course, the social media site that way more people will come into contact with is Facebook. Oh, yeah. What are you watching there? I mean, it seems like there's always something, some tweaking going on there.
Yeah, there is. Facebook is always changing. So one of the big questions is with a major election coming up next year, and a lot of money is spent on Facebook. How is, you know, Twitter's announcement that they're not going to accept political advertising, that was definitely a shot across Facebook's bow. Whether or not Facebook is going to look at that, it's hard to say. You know, it's money. They're not necessarily going to turn money away. But I think that there are, you're going to see a lot more vetting of businesses. One thing that I've been following a lot on Facebook is the whole Baby Yoda phenomenon, because every time I log onto Facebook, there's 19 different websites wanting me to sell me Baby Yoda toys. And those are all bootlegs. They're not real. And a lot of these are foreign companies. And, you know, people are just scrambling to get this hot product that's not going to be in the stores till next May. And they're putting their credit card numbers into websites that they don't even know where they go to. What can Facebook do about that to try to protect consumers? And Facebook's launching its own currency called Libra. And it's a difficult rollout. They've already run into some regulatory stuff, but this is one of the things that Facebook wants to do, is they want to serve as a marketplace for you, but there's a lot more that needs to be done to make sure they're protecting the consumer from buying from a company they've never heard of.
And one more trend we've talked about with Facebook, this move for once upon a time was like, hey, everybody's out there in the public, and that's the great thing about Facebook. Mm-hmm. And now Mark Zuckerberg's saying, hey, the great thing about Facebook is we're going to have these private groups everybody sees everything.
Yeah.
And it seems like they started that and they're moving more in that direction.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, you know, social media takes geography out of the equation. So you're connected to people with common interests, not necessarily common geography. And that's where they felt that a lot of the conflict was coming from. People were conversing still based on, oh, we live in the same city, and then we get on Facebook and we argue with each other. Well, now they want to, you know, move people more to have conversations about topics they have in common, no matter if they live in Wisconsin or if they live in Florida, or if they live in Europe. You know, it's that topic that brings them together. And that's really where social media excels.
What else, in our last few moments, what else are you watching for in 2020 in social media world?
Well, the big thing is the elections. And certainly we've now known that social media can be weaponized as a political tool. Mm-hmm. And that's both sides who are doing this. And we're going to see how this is going to start to play out, especially when we get to the general election next fall. It's both sides are looking what can be done, what is legal, and what is ethical. And of course, legal and ethical are not on the same wavelength.
Steve, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thank you.
That's Steve Knoll, professor of marketing at Madison College. He was with us today to talk about a number of new tweaks and features that could change what you see on sites like Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.